ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। तं तथावनतं भक्तं प्रजाकामं प्रजापतिं चितज्ञः सर्वभूतानां इदं आहो जनार्दनः। Who can appease everyone's... Although Prajapati Daksha could not say anything, when the Lord, who knows everyone's heart, saw his devotee prostrate in that manner and desiring to increase the population, he addressed him as follows. Sri Bhagavana Uvacha, Prachetasa Mahabhago, Shangshidas Tapasa Bhavan, Yakshradhaya Matpraya, Mayi Bhavang Parangata. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O most fortunate Prachetasa, because of your great faith in me, you have attained the supreme devotional ecstasy. Indeed, because of your austerities, combined with exalted devotion, your life is now successful. You have achieved complete perfection. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As the Lord himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita, one reaches the highest perfection when he attains the fortune of realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mamupetya punar janma dukalayang asashvatam napnuvanti mahatmanaha shangsiting paramangataha. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement teaches one to follow the path toward the topmost perfection simply by performing devotional service. Dukalayang asasvatam, a miserable world. Of course, we all like to say that, but how many of us really believe it? Dukalayang asasvitam, a miserable world filled with miseries, filled with anxiety, filled with horror, filled with ghastliness. The newspapers filled with news of hatchet murderers, idiots, fools, assassins, politicians. And everyone is eager for that. Like the fly is immediately attracted to the stool. But devotees have no interest, or are supposed to not have any interest. I don't know, I miss my daily newspaper, but somehow I get by without having to... What was it? Prabhupada walked into his room in Calcutta. He had just gotten off the plane. I forget where he come from. And he had a copy of Time magazine in his hand. And he walked into his room and he threw it down on his desk and he said, no one should read these magazines. He said, filled with news of demons. He said, Stalin, Mao, Churchill, demons and hatchet murderers. Very interesting. He included Churchill with Stalin and Mao. One would wonder why. Because Churchill was opposed to Indian culture. And if you accepted the Vedas, no matter what you were, Prabhupada liked that. Like he said about Purushottam, his servant. He was in the next room. It was in Boston, 1969. And I drove Prabhupada. Nice story. I was driving Prabhupada. It was a long way from the temple to we rented him this big house. He was going to be there for 5 days. Big mansion. And it was all snowing and ice everywhere. And I was driving, and Prabhupada was sitting next to me. In America, they drive on that side. So I was driving, and at that time, they didn't have bucket seats. It was all one seat. Big station wagon. I was driving along. It was about an hour's drive from the temple to this house. And I was driving along. Suddenly, I felt something on my shoulder. It was Prabhupada. He was sleeping on my shoulder. Resting. Very nice. He has such faith in his disciples that even I was going very fast, right across icy patches. I had faith in him. He had faith in me. Somehow we made it safe. Behind us, Brahmananda and other devotees, they went over the same ice, skidded off the road. Fortunately, no one was hurt. So when you have faith in the Guru, then no harm will come to you. Even if it appears to be harm, it always ends auspiciously. Faith in the Guru. Isn't that what this is about? The highest perfection comes from faith. Because we knew nothing in those days. Gauranga, are you with us? 1 minute you're laughing, the next minute you're asleep. The modes of nature are like that. Tossed around, dukkalayam asasvitam. Places of misery were tossed up, tossed down. Tossed up, tossed down. And even the up, when we think it's all wonderful, is also suffering. There is no existence, there is no spot in this universe which is not suffering. The only place that ends all suffering is shelter of the lotus feet of the Guru and Krishna. Not the Guru, Prabhupada. I remember we were chanting Jai Guru Deva, Jai Guru. Prabhupada stopped us in Mayapur. First we were chanting Jai Prabhupada, then I forget who was leading. It wasn't me. Thank goodness. I think it was someone else. They started saying, Jai Guru Deva, Jai Guru. Do not chant Jai Guru Deva. It's Mayavad. Who? Who is that Guru Deva? The name. The name is everything. Not some broad, nebulous Guru Deva, but Prabhupada. Just like Krishna. Even Bhagavan, there's so many Bhagavans. Indra sometimes addressed as Bhagavan, Brahma sometimes addressed. So we don't worship Bhagavan, we worship Krishna. Everything is in the name. Taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna means chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. There's nothing else but the holy name, especially in the Kali Yuga. Not culture of knowledge, not yoga. Culture of knowledge, gyan, means to understand the difference between material and spiritual. Now that may seem nice, and it is a nice effort, but bhakti means to understand the difference between spirit and matter and the controller of both. That's bhakti. Not just to understand this is maya and that's something is nomaya, the difference between spirit and matter, but to understand also the controller of both. And when you have understood the controller of both through the process of bhakti yoga, no other yoga process, only bhakti. We are bhaktas, very precious. Sometimes, I think I've said here before, sometimes, you know, when someone comes, new devotee, Ganesh or Bikash or Ramesh or, you know, whatever their name might be here in Bombay or in New York, Bhakta Alfred or Bhakta Albert or Bhakta Bob. We call them Bhakta Bob as if that's something lesser. Oh, he's just a Bhakta. He's just a Bhakta. Have you ever heard that? Sometimes there's politics among the neophyte devotees for position. Oh, he's not initiated, I'm initiated. Oh, he doesn't have his second, I have my second. They make a power structure, a political structure, that they can feel very grand in. He's just a Bhakta Vikesh. But to be a Bhakta, there's only three things. Bhakta, Bhakti, and the Bhaktam. There's the devotee, devotional service, and the object of your Bhakti. They're very precious, very rare, and it is everything. So he is just a Bhakta. Well, be careful. Bhaktas are these topmost, Krishna says. Bhakti means worship in humility, the worship of Krishna. Unless you have attained absolute and complete humility, you can't be a Bhakta. Let us drive out that misconception that Bhakta is lesser. If nothing else in this class, let us do that. Let us drive it out. Bhakta is topmost because you are my devotee, my Bhakta. Therefore, you are able to understand this science. What is that, Sishas? Sishas Teham. Because you are my devotee and my friend. What is that one? Not all at once. I can't understand it. Bhakto Shime Shakacheti. Right? Bhakto Shime Shakacheti. Because you are my devotee, my Bhakta, as well as my friend. But Bhakta comes first. Because you are my devotee as well as my friend, you are able to understand. What is the last? Bhakto shime shikacheti rahasyam eyatar uttamam. The topmost knowledge, uttamam. Everything with Krishna is top. Purush uttamam. The topmost person. That's Krishna, a person who can only be understood through bhakti. So let us not think that, oh, he is just a bhakta. Ooh, dangerous thinking. And a bhakta is never lesser anything. In 1971, I was president of Henry Street in Brooklyn. And Prabhupada initiated, I think it was 85 or 90 devotees. He had come from L.A. and all the devotees from the East Coast who were being initiated, they all came. We had for 3 days we had initiations. Rather than do it all at once, we divided it into three. So Prabhupada would sit on his Vyasasan and I would do the jagat. And Prabhupada would speak. And one day, the third day, Prabhupada said, Bhavanand, you speak. So, you know me, fools rush in where lions fear to tread, angels fear to tread. I just, you know, all right, Prabhupada asked me, I'll do it. Fearless. Fearless. We were like that. We were fearless. Even though we knew nothing, but with faith in anything Prabhupada asked us to do, we did. Without a second's thought. Some may say foolish. I say, no, that was fearless. So anyway, I started. So I said at one point, you don't have to be very wealthy to be a devotee. You don't have to be very beautiful. Prabhupada stopped me. He said, all devotees are beautiful. So that, but my point was, there's no material consideration. Because it's the activity and the situation of the soul. You and I are spirit. Not very often do you hear, you are not your body. These days, everyone, don't do that. These days, everyone is, they like to talk about Radha and Krishna and the gopis. And in the old days, which are also the new days, ever fresh, the old days with Prabhupada, oh, Prabhupada's lectures. You are not your body. You are not your body. You are not your body. He never spoke about Radha Krishna, you know, and Leela. Very rarely. You are not your body. Let us understand that. Then we won't, when we realize we're not our bodies, then I will not be seeing Indian devotees, European devotees, American devotees. But one family. That's why it's so nice to come here. You feel like you're with family. And there's very little that I know of, perhaps it goes, very little politics. Very little maneuvering, lobbying for position, for status. It's all one in that we are all devotees of Krishna. There's individuality, achintya beta beta tattva. We are all devotees of Krishna and we are all wonderfully individual. Can you imagine if everyone was like me? What a crazy, crazy world it would be. I wouldn't be able to stand it. I would drive myself crazy. Isn't it? But we're all individuals, and each of us has wonderful qualities. Spiritual qualities. And those spiritual qualities are brought out by chanting Hare Krishna. Removing the impurities of the heart, and our individual spiritual selves will shine forth. And if we're very fortunate, we'll all have pink palms like Gauranga. Show everyone your hand. God, I want to see it. Come on, put your hands up. Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Look at that. Pink palms. We're all chanting Hari Bol. Why? We're all in the Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. I'll tell you a funny story. I've been wanting to tell this story. It's not really on the point, but I like to tell it. To make a long story short, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Advaita Prabhu, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Brinda. Advaita Chandra is he's very distraught because Lord Chaitanya will not allow him to worship Lord Chaitanya. He keeps putting Lord Advaita on an elevated platform and glorifying him. And Lord Advaita wants to glorify Lord Chaitanya. So, you all know that story. So he starts preaching Gyan, the glories of Gyan. Lord Chaitanya becomes very angry And he and Nityananda go to Advaita Chandra's house, and Lord Chaitanya beats him. I'm slapping him all over. Lord Advaita falls down at his feet and said, "At last, I can glorify you. By your punishing me, you've put me in a position. I can pay obeisances at your lotus feet. I can glorify you." And then the three of them were laughing. And Lord Chaitanya said to, what's her name? Sita Devi, Sita Mataji, Advaita's wife, "You please prepare prasad. We'll take our bath." They go and take their bath. They come back. They're in this room. Haridas Thakur is at the door. And they're in the mood of little boys, and Lord Nityananda starts throwing the rice with ghee all over the room, all over everyone. And Lord Advaita becomes angry, and he said, "Who is this drunkard? Who are you? You behave like a drunkard. No one knows what your caste is. No one knows where you're from. No one knows who your father is. You associate with the Yavanas in the West. You've made me lose my caste. Now you're behaving like a drunkard." And he starts dancing, Advaita. And Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya are sitting there, and they're laughing, and Advaita's cloth falls off. He loses his cloth because he's dancing. You've had that happen. You're jumping up and down, you're dhoti. Hasn't that happened? He's grabbing his cloth, and they're all laughing. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Advaita are all laughing. And it says, then Lord Nityananda, "Dui Anguli Dekaya." He gives them the two thumbs up. So I always would give, sometimes I'd see devotees, I go, yeah. But I always felt funny. I thought, you know, it's a pretty mundane thing to do. But here, Lord Nityananda is laughing, and they're all, and he gives Advaita the two thumbs up like that. So it's bona fide. That's what it says. Dui Anguli Dekaya. He points his two thumbs straight up in the air to Lord. Anyway, to get back to faith, and as I said yesterday, I'm not so familiar with this chapter and daksha. I presume it's the same daksha, or is it a different daksha? Same daksha who later gets the head of a goat, right? The head of a goat? But anyway, you know, who can understand the pastimes of the Supreme Lord and all these? I mean, daksha's elevated. He's one of the he's populating the whole universe, so he's a pretty elevated person. But later he becomes antagonistic towards Lord Shiva, and insults his daughter insults Lord Shiva and offends his daughter, and then all the demons come, the Bhutas and the Vibhutis and all the Rakshasas, followers of Lord Shiva, and they cut off his head and they put a goat, then he gets a goat's head. These are bewildering pastimes, but the essence, the little lessons you can learn. He paid his dandabats full out. And I was reading this morning in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that unless you achieve total and complete humility, you cannot gain the mercy of the Lord. So that dandabat, that's complete surrender. At least we're pretending. At least we're doing it. We may not feel it in our hearts, but we're doing it. That's the practice of sadhana. There are two ways to achieve the mercy of the Lord. One is by the unfathomable mercy, and the other is by the practice of sadhana. So it's described that by the unimaginable mercy is like there's two ways to give food in charity. One is you give cooked food. You just get the mercy without doing anything. Somehow you just get the mercy, you're given cooked food. The other is you give in charity, you give rice, you give vegetables, you give ghee, and you cook, you give the ingredients for the meal, and the person cooks it. So we're all sadhana bhaktas. We've been given the formula, we've been given the ingredients, now we got to cook it up. And that's sadhana. And if we cook nicely, properly, we will achieve the same goal. And once you've achieved the same goal and you're liberated, it doesn't matter how you got there. Like President Kennedy said, he only won in 1960, when he was elected president. He only won by like 100 votes. Something like very small amount he became president. But when they told him, he said, it only takes one vote. And you're the president. So it doesn't matter how you got there, how he got there, whether he won by a million billion votes or whether he won by one vote, he still became the president, most powerful man in the world, materially. So it doesn't matter if you get the causeless mercy, you are made a devotee. Or by practice of sadhana, once you're a devotee, you've achieved the understanding and the mercy of the lotus feet of the Lord. We're all in it together. It's not that in Goloka, someone comes up to you and says, oh, you got here by sadhana. You're lesser than me. I've always been here. I never went there. It's not like that. When Gopakumar, when he saw Krishna, Krishna saw him, Krishna came running to him. And they embraced each other and they fainted. They fell on the ground. There was all emotion, ecstatic, loving emotion. And then Krishna said, your name is... He gave him his name. He said, where have you been? I'm so happy that you're back. And you... And then he, who was it? Sridhar or Subal? Who's Radharani's cousin, brother? He said, Sridham, you please take him to your house. He's your cousin. And you make sure everything might be a little unfamiliar. So you see that he's made it home and that he... So just imagine when we return home back to Godhead by complete faith. Krishna is so caring. He sees it's like coming to, in a way, coming to Chaupati. You come to Chaupati, the devotees are so caring. They're so concerned. They want to see to your needs. They want to see that you're comfortable. It's wonderful. It's like returning home to family. So Krishna's the same way. Krishna wants to make sure that, make sure he's comfortable. It might be a little unfamiliar to him. Make him... So he initiated him. Gave him a name, gave him a position. Made him a member of the family, which he always was. And we're already members of Krishna's family. We have forgotten. And we are stupidly, idiotically claiming this body as ourselves. But somehow, if you're fortunate, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Boy Bhakti Lota Bij. You're given the seed by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Guru Krishna Prasad Boy, they give you the mercy, and you, the seed of devotional life is implanted in your heart. And either that will fructify by their mercy, or it will fructify by your sincere endeavors in practicing sadhana. Even that's also mercy. Unless you get that mercy in the form of the seed of bhakti, you cannot attain Krishna. So I don't know what we did. Whether we performed pious activities in previous lives, whether we took part in some ajñāta sukriti, some unknown pious activity that we performed in this life or previous lives, or whether we were just wretched and Prabhupada just picked us up for no good reason except it was his desire. I don't know. I don't know why, and it doesn't matter why. Like, it doesn't matter why, how we got here into the material world. You know, some at one point in our society, there was all this, in Vrindavan, the leaves don't fall. Who says the leaves don't fall? Leaves can fall in Vrindavan. You know that book? In Vrindavan, the leaves don't fall. Very clever title. But who says the leaves don't fall in Vrindavan? They have seasons. Leaves fall. Flowers bloom. When Krishna plays his flute, all the trees, they sprout leaves. So that means they didn't have leaves. They sprout new leaves. You fall. Anyway, how did we get here? Oh, maybe this or that. Oh, it's all gives me a headache. But Prabhupada would always say, somehow or other, we have come to this world. It happened so long ago by our material conception, we can't even conceive. And when you return to the spiritual realm, it's like waking from a nightmare. You have a nightmare, a dream, and you're tossing and turning, being chased by a tiger, being hacked up, and all many horrible things are happening to you. But when you wake up, it's gone. So returning back to home, back to Goloka, is like that. It's like waking from a dream. And all of our mundane experience, insignificant. You don't even think about them. Why should you? You're immediately absorbed in love for Krishna. Where is Krishna? How can I serve Krishna? When will I see Krishna? Oh, Krishna's done this. Krishna's done that. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Oh, he's disappeared behind the tree. I cannot stand it. I want to see him. Oh, my eye is blinking. They cannot stand to be without seeing Krishna for even a moment, even the blink of an eye. Imagine how devoted they are. And us, in the morning, we blink our eye goes down, but it never goes up again. It just stays down. And we think we're very advanced. We can't even stay awake to chant the Lord's holy name. I remember once in New York, a godbrother of mine, I won't mention his name, I was sitting there with the Chutananda, and he was giving this devotee was giving class. He was leaning against a column on the 55th Street Temple. He's giving Srimad Bhagavatam class. Suddenly, I didn't hear anything. His class was so boring, he put himself to sleep. I hate to say it, but I mean, I was struggling to say it, but he put himself to sleep right in the middle. I mean, really. How ignorance affects us. But anyway, we keep trying. We keep trying. We make for Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Keep trying. Keep chanting. Chant louder. I know Gauranga Priya was telling me everyone was complaining that, oh, you're chanting like Bhavananda. He was having trouble with his mind. He got up and he went into the walking room. We'll call it the japa walking room, pacing room. And he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 too loud. They were complaining, the devotees. You're chanting too loud. You're chanting like, you sound like Bhavananda. I can't help it. That is the way I chant. He can't help it. That's the way he chants. So you have to tolerate us. As a matter of fact, you know where the Goshala is and where the Lotus Building is. A long way away. I used to get up in Mayapur, and I lived up in one of those rooms on the roof. And I would, before Mangal Arati, I would chant loud, round and around and around. And way over in the Goshala, Krishna Rupa, Narasvara's wife, was giving birth to her son. At the same time, I was, you know what they named him? Japa. Because the whole time, I was like half a mile away, she heard me chanting. So chanting loudly is good. If it's your thing, you have to, I can't chant softly. And I have to walk. You know, they have those puppets, wooden dolls. Their feet move. As their feet move, their jaw moves. If I stop walking, my jaw stops. When I walk, but at least Hare Krishna comes out. So we have to be a little gentle and understanding of we're all individuals. Okay. I think that is it. Does anyone have any questions?
Did Prabhupada say anything about walking?
Not that I know of. However, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to pace and chant. I think Prabhupada mentioned that. There was a balcony on his house at the Chaitanya Mat, and he used to pace back and forth, Prabhupada said, chanting Hare Krishna, thinking how to spread the movement. Mostly when I'm chanting, I'm thinking about, you know, what I want to do, some comforts. I wish I had this, I wish I had that. And then once in a while, I do most of my designing, let's say. Well, like I bother Sadhbhuj this morning. I'm chanting, I said, no, like a, I stop, and I said, like a lotus bud, the dome should be like a lotus bud. Gauranga Priya, is there a lotus bud here? I'm not thinking really about Radha and Krishna now, but I'm thinking about service usually. So that's something. But Prabhupada said Bhakti Siddhanta used to pace back and forth, thinking how to spread this movement and chanting Hare Krishna. And he would chant loudly. Prabhupada would also walk around the veranda on the floor of the Lotus Building chanting, or like I told you that time, he would take his afternoon nap in that one of those rooms on the roof. And I looked, I saw he was standing up by the wall. He was all alone, so I ran up to be with him. That's that nice story. I told you those stories. We were walking around chanting, and then he stopped by the wall. He was looking at the joke pit, and he said, I had a dream where I went to a planet where the pious Muslims go. And I said, oh, Prabhupada, I didn't think there was such a thing. He said, yes, a few. I won't tell you what he said next. That's confident. But he said, yes, a few. Then he was looking at the jog pit, and he said, what is more important, the Janmasthan or the Karmasthan, the birthplace or the activities of a man? And I said, the activities. He said, yes. He said, so that is the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. This, our campus, is the activities, the preaching activities of Lord Chaitanya. So he said, I want you to build a place that is so wonderful, no one will go to the birthplace. Everyone will come here. So that's what we're trying to do, Sadbhuj and Ambarish and I. And with your help and your blessings, perhaps we may succeed. Thank you. Any other questions? Now, just stand up and shout.
Hare Krishna. You are talking about this faith. Faith. So, how did you develop total faith, you know, in your earlier days of Krishna consciousness when you didn't have any background of... How did you develop total faith immediately to join and all that?
I had no faith. I don't know how I ended up there. It was like that. What happened? One day I was associating with big directors and Hollywood stars. The next day I was sleeping on the floor in a temple. I don't know what happened. Whoa. What happened? It was like that. I didn't do anything. It's just somehow Krishna and Prabhupada, out of all these millions and billions of people, they picked a few. Let's take him. Let's take her. Yeah, what about that one? Yeah, take that one. We're just going through our daily activities, getting up, eating, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, and the next minute you're in a temple. You know, Hare Krishna. Nothing to do with me. That's what I said. I don't know what I did. Boink. Like that. That's what it was like. It wasn't that I went and I heard Prabhupada and I asked him questions and I chanted Hare Krishna and I came back the next day. It was like that. And came back the next day. It wasn't like that. But somehow I just ended up in a temple. I do remember liking the camphor lamp. Oh, this is nice. I always liked camphor. They were offering. And they had a Jagannath deity. I thought, oh, that's far out. That, how impersonal. That's far out, that big wooden thing. Wow, that's far out. And the next thing, I was spent the night. And never returned. Until much later, but that's another story that we won't go into. Now, by Prabhupada's mercy, we're still continuing our endeavor to be Krishna conscious. But we pray that all of you will bestow your mercy on me, that I may become Krishna conscious, at least something in this life. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.